your Locked On Raiders, your daily podcast on the Las Vegas Raiders. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Just win.
Your team
just
every
win.
Day.
Just win.
The autumn wind is a raider. Pillaging just for fun. He'll knock you round and upside down and laugh when he's conquered and won.
What's up, Raider Nation? Welcome into Friday's edition of the Locked On Raiders podcast. Friday, October 23rd, 2020. Your boy Q here in a little bit different tone for today's episode of the podcast. And I got a lot to talk about, and it's not going to be as cheery and as fun as it normally is. But either way, we are here on a Friday. We're going to finish off strong like we do each and every week. Before we get into today's podcast, I do want to tell you about the title sponsor of today's show, which is, again, Pepsi, because this football season, very different. Pepsi's here to get you ready for game day no matter how you watch this season. Pepsi's a refreshment you need to power through game day and become a member of the League of Football Watchers. Passionate fans are the real generational talent that Pepsi fuels. Because Pepsi isn't made for those who play the game, it's made for those who watch it. Pepsi, made for football watching. Go to madeforfootballwatching.com to check out the latest football watching content from Pepsi. Coming up on today's show, well, segment number three, your calls and texts straight off that Locked On Raider podcast voicemail line. Got a lot of strong opinions straight off that Locked On Raider podcast voicemail line, so we'll definitely get to as many calls and texts as possible coming up in segment number three, 707-654-4693. That is the number. If you ever want to send me a direct message, as many of you do, you could always hit me on Twitter, @YourBoyQ254. I'll try to get some of those on the show as well, but today got a lot of calls and texts that I definitely want to get to as many as possible. I know I'm not going to get to them all, but I will try to get through them and hustle through them as quickly as possible. Coming up in segment number two of today's Locked On Raiders podcast, going to be talking about accountability and how that factors and what kind of factors that is for the Raiders and how just everything is really kind of flipped up over on its head right now. And we all knew that 2020 was going to be a strange, crazy season, and anything could change and happen quick, fast, and in a hurry. I've been talking about the season is in the NFL in general is a week-to-week type business, and that's exactly what it is. But boy, it's really seems like it's now a day-to-day type situation, especially as far as the Raiders go. So going to talk about accountability and Trent Brown in a major way coming up in segment number two, and what I think that the Raiders need to do moving forward for that guy in particular. But and I'll give you my reasons why I feel like you need to make some moves with him. But we'll talk about that coming up in segment number two. Here in segment number one, give you the news and the notes of the day, and I'll let you know right now, well, it's all COVID-19 related. So let's go ahead and hop right into it. Thursday's show, we talked about the fact that Trent Brown, the right tackle for the Raiders, had tested positive for COVID-19, and the whole offensive line was sent home because of contact tracing, as well as Jonathan Abram. And one of the things that we were waiting for, we did not have clarity, and I said early on Thursday we'd have some clarity on what's going on. Did not know if those guys that were sent home, the other five people, the four offensive linemen and Jonathan Abram, were going to be considered high-risk contacts. We had no idea. Well, later on that day, on Thursday, it was confirmed that the Raiders, and Paul Gutierrez really laid it out really well. Paul Gutierrez from ESPN, he put it out on Twitter. He laid it out really, really well, talking about it was confirmed Raiders offensive line and Abram are all going on the COVID-19 list as they have been deemed high-risk contacts. So they are now quarantined for 5 days plus the last day of contact, which was Monday. It means they could conceivably be cleared Sunday morning via a POC test, but also means less time to prep for the Buccaneers game, which was moved up from 5 p.m. to 1 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. So the game that we were talking about that was going to be prime time that I did the crossover Thursday with David Harrison from Locked On Bucks. It was going to be that Sunday night football game. Very excited about that. That is no longer. Now it's going to be, well, a 1 p.m. kickoff on the West Coast, 3 p.m. kickoff in Central Time, 4 p.m. on the East Coast. But it's no longer prime time. And one, a lot of people are saying, well, if the Raiders are having COVID-19 issues, why would it be moved up? Why wouldn't it be moved back like to Monday or Tuesday? They just made sure that they had a Sunday night game. They put that Arizona Cardinals game in there on Sunday night. Arizona and Seattle is going to be the new Sunday night football game. And the Raiders have been moved up to, like I said, a 1 p.m. West Coast kickoff. But that could easily be moved to a Monday or Tuesday. I don't know what's going to really happen. But Trent Brown, he is being looked at, and the NFL and the NFLPA are actually looking into the fact that he wasn't wearing his contact tracing bracelet, his tracker. He wasn't wearing that tracking device all the time. So that's why all the guys had to be put into high-risk contacts, because they don't know. They had those trackers, and the players are supposed to wear those trackers. The personnel is supposed to wear those trackers. Coaches, everybody's supposed to wear those so you could tell, so they could identify the people who have been around you if you come up COVID-19 positive, how long they've been around you, and all that good stuff. And they could really narrow it down. But since he wasn't wearing it, they couldn't narrow it down. So they just said, you know what? The hell with it. Everybody's high risk. So that means that none of the guys are able to practice. And what's worse, what makes the matter worse, is a lot of people say, oh, well, just next man up. And I heard different Raider coaches say next man up. I've heard different Raider fans say next man up. Well, in my opinion, that next man up thing is for the birds, man. If the next man up was as good as the man that was currently up, that man would be the man up. You know what I mean? He wouldn't be the next man. He would be the man if he was just as good as the next man up. I get it. And sometimes you got to fill in, but it's getting real sticky, man. It's getting real sticky. And think about this. And Paul Gutierrez from ESPN, he put this out on Twitter as well. Check this out. NFL says no rule stating a team must dress 8 offensive linemen. Raiders under impression, if you dress 48, 8 must be offensive line. But the Raiders only have 7 other offensive linemen. 5 are on the 53-man roster currently, 2 are on the practice squad. So they cannot dress 48. Again, the NFL says no discussions of moving the game off of Sunday given current circumstances. Raiders players in isolation have been going doing virtual preparation in hopes and anticipation of being cleared to play against the Buccaneers. It's really, like I said, a sticky situation. Simply signing a free agent doesn't work either because they'd have to go through a 6-day entry protocol. So if that's your answer, like, hey, just go out and sign somebody, you can't because they got to go through 6 days of entry protocol. Moving the game back to Monday or Tuesday, in my opinion, seems most likely at this point, but you just don't know. But, I mean, now the Raiders are kind of push comes to shove. They're up against it as far as numbers go. It's a less than ideal situation. All started with Trent Brown, who really, I mean, he was the guy. And look, it's okay if one guy comes down with COVID-19 because that's going to happen. I mean, these things, I can't hold that against anybody. I won't get mad at one person. But if you go and purposely do something against the protocol and you set the rest of your team up for failure, that's when I have a problem. And so that's what is going on right now with the Raiders. So we'll have to continue to update what's going to go on. I don't think anyone's really going to know if this game is going to get played until maybe possibly as late as Sunday morning. I would like to think that the NFL would make a ruling before Sunday morning, but you just don't know, especially with the Raiders' history of, the COVID-19 and all the different fines and penalties that they've already obtained so far this year. The NFL might say, hey, you know what? You know, you made your bed. Now you got to lie in it. I'm not saying that's what they're going to do, but I could see them making that decision. So those are the facts. Those are the details. We'll get into my feelings on it, my real deal feelings on it, and what I think the Raiders should do moving forward. That'll come up in segment number 2, so make sure you stick around for that. I also kind of wanted to end segment number 1 on a good note, you know, and again, I don't know if this game is going to get played. I don't know when this game is going to get played, but here was a nice positive note here on Derek Carr. I thought this was pretty cool. This is from the NFL Communications. I get an email from them every single week, multiple times of the week. Matter of fact, anytime there's any kind of a news break or any kind of a just stat update or anything, they send these emails out multiple times throughout the week, and I found this one to be pretty interesting while I was going over Week 7 notes, and it says Las Vegas Raiders quarterback Derek Carr enters Week 7 leading all qualified passers in completion percentage, 73.1, while ranking second in passer rating, 115.9. In 99 career starts, Carr has 24,235 passing yards, 2,248 completions, and 154 touchdown passes, all the most in Raiders franchise history. With at least 15 completions against Tampa Bay, and it said on Sunday Night Football, but obviously that's not going to happen, Carr will surpass Tony Romo, who had 2,262 completions, for the second most career completions by a player through his first 100 starts in NFL history. Only Matthew Stafford, 2,410, has more. The players with the most career completions through their first 100 starts in NFL history are Matthew Stafford of the Lions, 2,410, Tony Romo of the Cowboys, 2,262, and then Derek Carr with the Raiders, 2,248. Now, I will say, Matthew Stafford doesn't have a ton of wins under his belt, and he's number one. Tony Romo, well, we all know he was hot and cold in Dallas, and Derek Carr, you know, he's hot and cold with the Raiders as far as, fans' appreciation for him, getting upset at him, love him, all that good stuff. I mean, you know, it's not like they're just knocking down the doors of any of those guys or Hall of Famers, but at the same time, it's still a little tip of the cap to DC and what he's been able to do so far with the Raiders. So that's what I got for you for segment number 1, news and notes today on this Friday here on the Locked On Raiders podcast. Coming up in segment number 2, going to talk about accountability and Trent Brown and all that good stuff. Normally I talk about game plans on how to defeat the upcoming team. Kind of had a good idea about that after the crossover Thursday edition with David Harrison talking all things Tampa Bay Buccaneers and Raiders. So I'm just going to get into accountability and what's really, really on my mind. Very fired up about this segment. So that's going to be coming up in segment number 2. Before I get into that though, I do want to tell you about one of the great sponsors here on the Locked On Raiders podcast, and that is Built Go. Built Go is going to help you get through the wall. And you're probably saying, well, wait a minute, what's Built Go and what wall are you talking about? Well, first of all, Built Go comes from the great folks that make Built Bar. And what Built Go is something that's going to give you energy, but it won't be fake energy. It's actually something that's really good for your body, and you will definitely appreciate it. It's kind of like taking an energy drink, but not having that crash, not having that that unnatural feel and that unnatural energy. It's not going to do that to you. It doesn't matter if that wall that you're talking about is mental or physical. It's going to get taken care of with Built Go in an easy 1.5-ounce package. They got three different flavors that you could choose from: peanut butter honey, chocolate coconut, chocolate mint. It's like a 5-hour energy without that same crash feeling. But again, it's natural, so it's really, really good for your body. Built Go combines energy gel with collagen protein. And when you're probably saying, well, what's collagen protein? Well, it's fast absorbing, so it gets into your system fast. Plus, it's very easy on the stomach. Collagen promotes joint, soft tissue, hair, and skin health. And it really basically makes you look better. And who couldn't use a little bit of looking a little bit better, right? Exactly. BuiltGo.com. That's the website you need to go to. Use the promo code LOCKED. You're going to get 20% off your next order. Promo code LOCKED, 20% off at BuiltGo.com. Let's go. Segment number two is on the way.
Your Locked On Raiders, your daily podcast on the Las Vegas Raiders.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, Raider Nation, here we are. Segment number two of today's Locked On Raiders podcast on this Friday, October 23rd, 2020. Your boy Q here with you as always, at your boy Q254. Coming up in segment number three, your calls and texts straight off that Locked On Raider podcast voicemail line. You know the number, 707-654-4693. This right now in this segment, normally I'd like to talk about the game plan, how to win the game on Sunday. But first of all, don't know if the game's going to get played on Sunday. Don't know if the game's going to get played on Monday or Tuesday. At some point, we should know. Maybe later on this afternoon, maybe tomorrow. Hopefully, but before Sunday. But still, this whole COVID-19, this whole Trent Brown situation, this whole contact tracing situation has really left just a foul taste in my mouth. And the whole Trent Brown situation all season long has really left a foul taste in my mouth. And, you know, I don't want to fault a guy for being injured, because I know the NFL is tough and guys are always banged up. And sometimes you just are just banged up and you can't go. But there are things that are really, you know, under your control. You have control of what you have going on. And this COVID-19 and accountability and everything, Trent Brown did have some kind of control. Maybe not 100% control, but he has some kind of control. So let me just put this out there before I get going on what I got to get going on. Vinny Bonsignor, who does a really good job for the Las Vegas Review-Journal, also Raider Nation Radio 920, follows Scott Gobranson and myself on Inside the Huddle. He does a show with Lincoln Kennedy. Definitely check that out. He does, like I said, really, really good job. He put this tweet out, and I think this kind of sums it up how most of Raider Nation is probably feeling. At least I know this is how I'm feeling, or at least I'll explain why I'm feeling the way I am after I read this tweet. According to a source, Raiders Trent Brown not always wearing his tracking monitor really impacted things. Had he done things the right way, it would have been easy to determine who among the offensive line and Jonathan Abram was high-risk contact. But because he didn't, there was really no other choice but to deem everyone high-risk contacts. And then he put, lesson, there are rules and regulations in place. Follow them. And he put out another tweet, and maybe I'll read it to you at the end of this segment, that the Raiders, some of the sources he has inside of the Raiders, what they're saying, how upset they are at Trent Brown. But just knowing that he deliberately did not wear his tracer, that is what got me mad. I mean, it's one thing, again, and I said in segment number one, if you come down with COVID, you come down with COVID. I mean, it is what it is. But the problem is when you deliberately decide to not do something, now you're not only impacting yourself, but you're impacting the others around you. If he had wore the tracer, then those guys may be back in practice today. They might have been back in practice yesterday. And those guys that I'm talking about, Colton Miller, talking about Denzel Good, talking about Rodney Hudson, talking about Gabe Jackson, talking about Jonathan Abram, those guys are the ones I'm talking about. They could have been back at practice. Look, Trent Brown's going to be out for the game. No matter if it's played on Sunday, if it's played on Monday, Tuesday, it don't matter. And yes, his health matters. His health is obviously priority number one. But again, he's impacting these other players. And that's what's got me going, because all he had to do was wear the stupid tracking monitor. That's it. It's all he had to, and I say it's stupid, but it's not stupid, because it really would have helped determine what was going on and what these guys were, if they were high risk or if they weren't high risk. So that means that he just deliberately did his own thing. And that, in my opinion, is a fireable offense. To me, that's something that you are endangering your team. And you're basically saying, hey, you know what? I don't give a damn what you say that we're supposed to be doing. I don't give a damn what the NFL and NFLPA has put in place as far as our guidelines so we can make sure we play a game. I'm going to just do me, and nobody's going to tell me anything. And that, when people say, well, Q, you need to worry about if he's healthy. You need to worry about other things besides playing the game. No, I really don't. I really don't, because that is the job that has been put in place, and that is the guideline that's been put in place for you to follow. So you take that, which is now potentially putting a lot of guys at not at risk, but just out. They're not going to be able to practice. And who knows, if they come back on Sunday and the game gets played Sunday afternoon, who knows what the performance is going to look like with no practice. I think that they could pull it off. But at the same time, you want these guys, you know, to be in the best shape possible. I mean, think about this. How does Derek Carr feel? Derek Carr possibly could have a second-string offensive line protecting him. How does Josh Jacobs feel? He could potentially be running behind a second-string offensive line. And they shouldn't have to. They should all do their part to make sure that they are in shape to be able to play the game. They have done what they need to do to set themselves up. Again, you're going to get COVID-19. It's going to hit. Somebody's going to be positive. Somebody's going to have some contact tracing. There's going to be guys that go down. Don't deliberately skirt around what you're supposed to be doing just because, well, that's just what you want to do. That's the problem. Look, Vinny even put out some of the things that I've heard from the Raiders family about Trent Brown's irresponsibility. Hard to believe for a guy who's only been on the field for one game, a lot of extra stuff. Like, it's just, and that goes back to my other point. This dude was paid big-time money to be a big-time free agent and come in and be a leader, be one of the lead dogs on that offensive line. And I've said it before on this show, when he's out there, the Raiders are better. No doubt about it. There's no questioning that. He's a much better player, and he's a much better upgrade when he's there at that right tackle position. The Raiders as a whole are much better. Without him, can they win? Yes, but you know, you'd rather him be out there. But I'll tell you right now, with all that he's got going on and all the, well, he's playing. No, he's not playing. He's literally played one game. He's played 70 snaps all season. 67 of them came in the last game against Kansas City. He played 3 snaps in the first game of the season against Carolina, and that's it. This dude is a guy I penciled in to be released at the end of the season anyway, just because his contract, they allow him to have the wiggle room to get out of his contract and not have any dead money. So I feel like he's going to be a free agent and be on the open market again. And that's another thing. You know, this guy is a really good player. He's a mammoth of a man, stud right tackle, left tackle, wherever you put him. I mean, he won a Super Bowl with the Patriots at the left tackle position. Why has he been a free agent so many times? Why has he been, you know, why is he on his third team already? Because there's something going on with him. And we mentioned before, we talked about his love for the game. Does he have the love for the game? Well, now he doesn't even have the love for his teammates. If you don't want to get out there and play, well, one, he could have opted out of the season. He didn't have to play. Now, if he had opted out, he wouldn't have got the money he's getting paid. He would have got a very small amount of money, and that really would have been more like a loan, and it would have come off his salary next year. So he decides he wants to opt in, and he's going to play so he gets paid, but he's not even out there playing. And now he's up there setting his other teammates up for failure. And not even wearing his damn tracking monitor. I mean, like, that just doesn't make any sense. So I go back to, that's a fireable offense, in my opinion. Just my opinion. I think the Raiders and Mike Mayock should do exactly what they did with Antonio Brown and said, you're out. You're gone. And be done with you. And I'm sure that they could fire him for cause and probably not have to pay him anything the rest of the season. Because, again, he's doing stuff that is, conduct detrimental to the team? That's a phrase I couldn't think of earlier. Actually, I couldn't think of it multiple times. I don't know why I can't think of that phrase. Oh, I know why. Because no one's ever said that about me when I go to work. I've never done anything conduct detrimental to my job. Well, unfortunately, Trent Brown is doing it. And I think, honestly, that they should just move on from him. I think they should say, you know what, the hell with this. We're going to find a way to get on without you. And, yeah, it's not ideal. It's not what you want. But at some point, man, you just got to cut bait. I honestly, and this is another thought I have on this, I honestly feel like he is more of a liability than Antonio Brown was. As bad as Antonio Brown was with the Raiders, as bad as he was, as much of a headache as he was, and I know that the Raiders have gotten one good year out of Trent Brown, you know, even though he missed some games back in 2019. I get that. So he's actually played some games for the Raiders. But now in 2020, when he's really needed to do the right thing, he's not even willing to do the right thing, and it's taken out more of his players. At least Antonio Brown only affected Antonio Brown. Him having jacked up feet or him having not the right helmet, that didn't stop Tyrell Williams from playing. That didn't stop Derek Carr from playing. That didn't stop, you know, insert whoever, Zay Jones, from going out there. That didn't. Now, that might have hurt the team because he was counted on to be a big factor, but this guy is stopping Gabe Jackson, Rodney Hudson, Denzel Good, Colton Miller, Jonathan Abram. He's stopping those guys from practicing because he couldn't wear his tracking monitor. I don't know what the NFL, and I said this in segment one, I don't know what the NFL's ultimate decision is going to be. If they're going to decide that, hey, you're playing on Sunday regardless, or if they push to Monday. Again, gut feeling tells me that they're going to push to Monday or Tuesday. I'm okay with that. I would like to see that the players get out there and at least have one day of practice instead of just having to, you know, get activated Sunday morning and then all of a sudden go out there. But this, I mean, I'm just at the point, and look, this has nothing to do with the fact that Trent Brown blocked me on Twitter. I don't care. I guess he doesn't like the truth. The truth is he's a liability to the team, as good as a player as he is. And I do think, again, before we wrap up segment number two, I think the Raiders are better with him, but I think it's going to be a relief to be without him, if that makes sense. Their offensive line is super solid, and he's a hell of a player, and he really impacts the game, and he really helps protect Derek Carr, and he really helps the run game. But at some point, you just cut your losses and say, you know what? The hell with it. It's just like they did with Antonio Brown. They just got to Antonio Brown super early. They said, you know what? This dude could be a hell of a player for us, could really help us have a big-time offense, but he's not worth the headache. I'm sorry, Raider Nation. Trent Brown, he ain't worth the headache. There was a song that I really, really, really like. Big fan of it. Big fan of it. By my guy Jay Valentine, Bay Area Cat. Anybody from the Bay probably knows who Jay Valentine is. He never was a big-time artist or anything. He's a producer. He does all kind of stuff. But anyway, shout out to Jay Valentine. He did a song back in the day that was one of my favorite songs called "She's Worth the Trouble," and it was a hell of a song, right? And the video was funny. And anyway, when I interviewed him, it was like, man, Q, I know that, you know, she does this, and I know she does that, and I know she does this, but man, at the end of the day, she's worth it. Well, I'm sorry, Raider Nation. I'm not trying to compare Trent Brown to a female, but Trent Brown is not worth the trouble. Just not. Jay Valentine would say, no, he ain't worth the trouble. You know what I'm saying? That's just what I think. I don't think he's worth the trouble. Cut him, cut your losses, and know that that's a big priority. The right tackle position will be a big priority for you in the draft in 2021. And Denzel Good's been doing a good job of holding down that spot. Sam Young is capable of holding down that spot. Go on and just do what you got to do. Make it happen. You know, get through the rest of the season and, you know, and just go in and try to upgrade that position in the draft or in the offseason, either way by free agency. But I think right now Trent Brown should be just gone. Now, my gut feeling tells me the Raiders are going to do, they're just going to ride it out the rest of the season with them, and then once the season's over, they're going to move on from them. But if it was me, if it was up to me right now, if it was my call, I would cut them and say, thanks, but no thanks. I'm done with you. Pack your stuff and kick rocks. But that would be me. I'm just fed up with them. So that's it, Raider Nation. That's all I got for you. Coming up in segment number three, what are your thoughts, your calls, your texts? Straight off that Locked On Raider podcast voicemail line, 707-654-4693. This is the Locked On Raiders podcast.
Your Locked On Raiders, your daily podcast on the Las Vegas Raiders. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Here we go, Raider Nation. Segment number three of today's Locked On Raiders podcast. Your time to shine. Your calls, text straight off that Locked On Raider podcast voicemail line, 707-654-4693. Not going to get into the game plan of the game this weekend because I do believe the game's going to get played next week. Bottom line, I think the game's going to get played Monday or Tuesday, so I believe I'll be able to talk about it on Monday, but we'll see. I've been wrong before, so we'll see how it all shakes out, but either way, I think it'll be a heck of a game, a heck of a battle. I'm just assuming Monday or Tuesday is when it's actually going to play. So let's get into some calls, man. 707-654-4693. Let's start off with Raider Khan, man, calling in to speak on Trent Brown and give his feedback and thoughts on what is going on with all the guys being high risk because, well, Brown was not wearing his tracking device. Here he is, Raider Khan, man.
Put up to Raider Khan man here. Okay, so I got a little bit, after all the recent news, I got a little bit of a cause for concern, or whatever you want to call it. Back to Trent Brown. First of all, I hope he's doing well. I think he's asymptomatic, his last I saw, so I think he's doing okay. But hope his health is doing good, and he's going to be fine. But, you know, if you think about it, the rest of the linemen, the five of the linemen or four of the linemen, and then Abram that was put on the list as well, is basically because of Trent not wearing his tracking device or just taking it off and not being or just not following the protocols as they should. which, I mean, a lot of people have different views on COVID and everything, so I'm not going to get into that. But there's rules in place. Like, they pay these guys big money. And, I mean, if you can wear the tracking device, I mean, they signed off on it as players, basically, to have the rules put in place so they can have the season. And he basically puts the team in jeopardy. Very well could affect the team outcome if they play Sunday. Those guys are all back without practice and all that. Just because he didn't wear the tracking device all the time. I mean, it seems pretty easy to do that, but I know it's annoying to do it and you get tired of it, blah, whatever. But, you know, he's got to be held accountable, I think. And I look at it as one of those guys that jokes around, you know, with your friends and always goes too far. And it's maybe funny at the first time, but you know, when it keeps happening and other stuff come up, it gets a little bit old. So that's kind of where I'm at right now. But, love the show. Ready to comment out.
There he is right there. Raider Con, man. Appreciate the call, my man. And you're not wrong. And at this point, my thoughts, not only on Raider Nation Radio, but also in segment number two, this dude was reckless with himself and he put his teammates in harm's way by not wearing that tracking device. I mean, it's, again, a fireable offense, in my opinion. So thank you so much for that call. Appreciate you. Next up is a text from JJ Raider 26. And before I get into it, got to sound the alarm one time because JJ Raider 26 is a new booty. Said, what up, Q? JJ Raider 26 here, new booty. I'm texting because of the stat you brought up on Monday about the Raiders' record after bye weeks. That stat sums up everything about why Raider Nation and Derek Carr is tired of Josh DeBoe and his shtick. So the Raiders are 3-14 after a bye since 2003. At first glance, you think, wow, that sucks. And it does. But what caught my ear was when you mentioned the years we won after the bye. 2013, 2015, I believe 2017. Why did Josh go to year 2003? It's because that's when the Raiders fell off the cliff for a decade, plus losing 9 straight years after the bye because they were the worst team in the league for that stretch. Why else would he choose such a random number of years? 17 for his stats. Why not just cover an even 20 years? Oh, that would bleed into first Gruden years when the team was rolling. Conversely, I could take the years from 2013 to 2019, a decent stretch of time, and say the Raiders are 3-4 over the last 7 years after the bye, and if they win this week, they'll be at 500 for the last 8 years. Not great, but not nearly the dumpster fire Josh makes it to be. Anyone could tweak stats if they just look hard enough. It just don't matter, Josh. Why not focus on the Raiders of now, not the team that was in a fog for what seemed like an eternity, so you could just keep poking at the nation? Thanks, Q. That's from JJ Raider 26. And yeah, I mean, you're not wrong. And I say it all the time about stats. You could dance up stats. You could dress stats up. You can make them fit any narrative you want. I can make something look bad or I can make something look great. And that's just why stats are so deceiving and you really have to look into it. But I just think that whole stretch, because it was the time that the Raiders have been really, really down. I think that was the point. I'm not trying to make excuses for him. I'm thinking that that's what he's basically saying, or maybe that's the time that he's been covering the team. Not too sure. Again, I don't know the history behind Josh DeBoe, but yeah, you're absolutely right, and I understand why the team and Carr would be tired of him, but I mean, I guess it is what it is. So thank you so much for that text, my man. I definitely appreciate you. Welcome to the family. Hope to hear from you soon. Next up is Raider Infiltrator from the 559. He's calling in to talk about the O-line and Abram being sent home and how they can't practice now. He's sharing his feelings on the subject. Here he is, Raider Infiltrator out the 559.
Hey, what up, Q? This is Raider Infiltrator from the 559 area. Just checking out these reports about now the whole O-line is going on the COVID list. We all heard that they got sent home, but now they're all on the COVID list as well as with Jonathan Abram. Man, not sure how anybody would see that this isn't a big deal. It is. The whole O-line right now that's been at practice there, guys that are, most of us are not familiar with. We're familiar with a couple of them guys out there, but how does anybody not see this as a big deal is beyond me. What do you think about how Carr feels about this going into a game like that, and like Josh Jacobs and some of these guys that, you know, that this line's got a block for? I hope that's not the case. I hope we do end up getting our line back, but in the worst case scenario, us having to go into Sunday with a whole alternate line, how are we going to do that? How are we going to be able to compete with the Bucs? They already have a great defense. I think it would be possible to sign a couple of guys from another team that do have some, a little bit more experience for at least a game, or do we rock with what we have? Good listening to your show. Been listening for a while. Peace out, homie.
There he is right there. That's my guy, Raider Infiltrator from the 559. And I think Carr's upset. I think Jacob should be upset. I think the whole team should be upset. I think John Gruden and company should be upset. And again, going back to what I said in segment number two, they need to make an example. Like, look, man, we're not playing around with this. We're just not playing around with this mess. But we'll see what they end up doing. Again, I just think it's time to just move on, man. I'm done, but that don't mean that they're done. So we'll see what happens. Thank you so much for that call. Next up is a text, and I just got a couple more I want to get to. OJ from the IE. Man, that sounds gangster for real, right? That sounds like a real deal. Hey, man, what's your name, homie? I'm OJ from the IE. You know what I mean? Like, that sounds like the real deal. Like, he on the block for real, right? Anyway, he says, hey, what's up, Q? OJ from the IE, brother. Just want to know what players you would think the Raiders possibly have on the block, if any, with the deadline coming up. Or if they try to go make a move for a player, what they'd be willing to give up. Good looking out, my man. Appreciate what you do. It's OJ from the IE. Thank you, my man, for the text. Appreciate you. And look, Vinny Bonsignor said on Wednesday, he said that he thought that the Raiders would go and make a move for a defensive player if one became available. Well, lo and behold, the Vikings went and moved on from Unique Ngakoue and let Baltimore go swoop him up. That was a big-time deal, man. Baltimore got a lot better, I think. And again, it goes back to the point that basically Baltimore got Unique Ngakoue for Lynn Bowden Jr. I would have much rather give up Lynn Bowden Jr. or that third-round pick and gone and got Unique Ngakoue to begin with. But I think maybe the Raiders will make a move for a defensive player if they feel like they can get one at the price that they want. I don't think there's anybody that they move on from, though. I don't think there's anyone that they trade. And I really don't see too many teams knocking down the door saying, hey, we want that guy anyway. So look for the Raiders to make a move for a defensive player if they go and make a move for anybody. Maybe a safety out of Minnesota. Looks like Minnesota's got a fire sale going on. Maybe Atlanta, they got a fire sale going on. But I think it's going to have to be a defensive player. I think anyone offensive would just be a luxury. So thank you so much for that that text. I appreciate you. Next up is a call from Greg from Oklahoma. And before I get into it, got to sound the alarm because Greg's a new booty. He's calling in to talk not only about Trent Brown, also wants to chime in about Henry Ruggs, and then he wants to shout out another podcast because, well, somebody he hears on the show all the time who's on another podcast. So here he is. He's a new booty out of Oklahoma named Greg right here on the Locked On Raiders podcast.
So let me start off. I'm a new booty. My name is Greg. I'm from Oklahoma. I kind of want to talk about Henry Ruggs and a little bit about Trent Brown. Let me start with Ruggs. This guy is amazing, okay? Even when we're not throwing to him, you know, or when Derek's not throwing to him, there's no we in that, but, you know, he's a hell of a decoy. You have to account for him, and we've been missing that for a long time. To talk about Trent Brown, I know it's not his fault that COVID came his way, but literally, is there like not some way to keep this dude on the field? Like one game plus three snaps. That's what we've had him for this season. That's all I wanted to talk about. But I hear T3 Raider Facts call in quite often. And since he won't do it, I'll do it. Every Thursday, the Only Nation podcast, give it a listen. It's great. I listen to you every day. I listen to them every Thursday. So, thank you, and y'all have a nice day. Raiders!
There he goes right there, Greg from Oklahoma. Thanks for the call, my man. Appreciate you. Welcome to the fam. And, yeah, let's start with Ruggs. He's a great weapon. You know, if he's getting the ball or not, I agree 100%. That's why the Raiders need to make sure he stays on the field. You saw how big of a difference he makes when he's on the field in general. You were talking about stats. We talked about stats before. The numbers show that when he's on the field, the Raiders are much better offensively. You know, so the speed, that's something that you can't teach. So, yeah, you definitely want to have him on the field. The Trent Brown thing, I know it's exhausting a lot of people, but you're right about what you said. You know, he can't stay on the field. And so as far as I'm concerned, it's time to move on from him. They'll probably hold on to him until the end of the year, though, and then move on from him. They'll probably try to get the most out of him as possible and then move on. But we'll see. And as far as T3 and his podcast, man, I've definitely supported that multiple times. Shouted it out. T3 shouted it out. He's been, you know, rocking with the show for a long time. I support anyone who does a show. So, any show that's out there, it's all good, man. So I know there's some folks out there that would definitely not support or definitely don't support other people's podcasts. I don't mind. I'm not that dude. You ain't going to catch me hating on nobody. So, appreciate you chiming in. Next up is a text from Easton Raider. And like I said, just got a couple more. I got a text and one more call, and then we're done for the day and done for the week. Easton Raider. Is this not the most important game in Derek Carr, John Gruden era? I believe it is. After the Buccaneers game, we have one of the easiest schedules remaining in football. Do we want to go into that 3-3 or 4-2? Do we want to have three of our wins against the Saints, Chiefs, and Bucks? Three Super Bowl contenders? We need to find a way to beat the Bucks just like we did the Chiefs. Gruden and Carr both have demons that need to be conquered in this game. Gruden has to beat his old team, Tampa Bay, that fired him, and Carr and Gruden both need to beat Brady. Gruden needs revenge from the Tuck Rule game, and Carr has never beaten the GOAT. If we win this game, the Raiders will finally get the recognition that we've been waiting for years. Love the podcast. I listen religiously. Love you, Q559. I know there's a piece of you that still loves the 559/209. That's from Easton Raider. Thank you so much for that text, man. Appreciate you. And yeah, man, shout out to the 559. You know I'm not mad, man. Represent. I had some of my great years of my life was in the 559. So definitely shout out to the Valley there. I'm not mad. 209, of course, stand up. As far as this, you know, the game coming up and is it not the most important game? I don't think all the backstories that you mentioned, even though they are important and they're factors in the Raiders' history, I don't think that's anything that any of these guys could be thinking about when they go into the game. Gruden needs to worry about coming up with a game plan just to try to beat Tampa Bay. Derek Carr needs to figure out exactly what he's going to do to try to avoid that Tampa Bay pass rush, get the ball out of his hand, and get them to the players that could be in position to win the game. We could talk about all these different storylines, Tuck Rule game, playing against the GOAT, Tampa Bay fire Gruden. They got him in the Ring of Honor. Buccaneers beat the Raiders in the Super Bowl with Gruden. Gruden got traded to the Tampa Bay. I mean, we can all day long talk about storylines, but it's all about, you know, the Raiders going out there, taking it one week at a time, not worried about the rest of the schedule getting better or easier or whatever. They need to go out and absolutely win this game. And I don't know if they're going to play it on Sunday. I don't think they are. I think they're going to play it Monday or Tuesday. They just need to find a way to win the game. So hopefully that answers your question. Definitely appreciate you. Final call comes from Alan from Canada. He's calling in to talk about Trent Brown and his future with the team as far as next season's concerned. Here he is, very frustrated Alan from Canada.
Hey, Q, this is Alan from Canada calling. Not a new booty, but I've called before. It's been a while. Anyways, I just got the news there that Trent Brown and our entire offensive line, is on COVID reserve and Jonathan Abram. And because apparently Trent Brown wasn't wearing his tracing device, that's all his fault, I guess. So, I don't know, man. If Trent Brown is still on the Raiders next year, I don't know. It's an emotional call, I know. I just don't know what to say right now. I've probably gotten like 17 of these calls, so feel free to not air this one, but he's a f***ing goof. I have no other, like, if you're walking around the team facility and you don't have your tracing bracelet on, that only doesn't fall on your shoulders, it falls on the team's shoulders. So the Raiders should be shaking their heads right now. That's all I've got to say.
Thank you so much, my man. Appreciate that. Good to hear from you again. And you're not wrong. You know, you're definitely not wrong. I know I had to bleep out a couple words there, but it's all good. I definitely appreciate what you had to say. I agree with you 100%. You know, it's very, very frustrating. And I've said it multiple times on this show. The Raiders are better with Trent Brown, but man, I'm just tired of him. I'm just tired of him, and I'm ready to say good riddance. You know, goodbye and good riddance, and just let him go. And somebody will pick him up. Somebody will be, you know, they'll pick him up, put him on their roster, and, you know, they'll probably make a deep playoff run. What, I don't even care. Not even going to look back. Trent Brown has just been, as far as I'm concerned, this year at least, an absolute disaster for the Raiders. But again, that's just me. So that's going to do it for the rest of the show. Or that's going to do it for the show. It's going to do it for the week. Have a great weekend. I'm sure sometime maybe later on today, depending on what time you're listening to this, maybe tomorrow, maybe as late as early Sunday morning, we'll find out when and if the game's going to get played on Sunday. If not, maybe Monday, maybe Tuesday. We'll find out at some point, and we'll be talking about it here on the Locked On Raiders podcast. So enjoy your weekend. Do what you do. Take care of yourselves. Wash your hands. Social distance. Wear your mask. I know you don't have a tracking device like Trent Brown, but do what you got to do. And most importantly, as always, just win, baby.